From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Dip netting on the Kasiluf River opened to Alaska anglers last Sunday. And this season, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game is expanding the boundaries of the dip net site to give anglers more room during the fishery's six-week opening. That's as the Kasiluf River continues to see big sockeye runs and more anglers who are following the fish. KDLL's Sabine Pooks has more.
Covered head to toe in sand-splattered rain jackets and waders, Gail Heineman and Grady Taylor of Anchorage are braving the unseasonably brisk June weather Tuesday to try their luck at their favorite dip net spot.
Yeah, we've been coming here for decades. Don't ask me how many.
Tents line the shore of the beach at the mouth of the Kasiluf River. Families stand by four-wheelers and coolers full of fresh-caught sockeye salmon. And aside from the squawking seagulls, it's a relatively quiet scene for a dip net fishery.
Not as crazy as the Kenai gets sometimes, and not as busy, it seems like. The conditions aren't as challenging usually, so it's just more laid back.
The Kenai River remains the state's most popular dip net spot, but that location has actually seen a drop in popularity in recent years. The Kasiluf dip net fishery, meanwhile, is on the rise. Last year, personal use fishermen harvested almost 160,000 sockeye from the river, nearly double the sockeye harvest a decade ago. At the same time, the Kasiluf's seeing record numbers of sockeye pass through Fish and Game's sonar. Last year, the run came close to 1 million fish, and that trend seems poised to continue. Anglers on day three of the dip net fishery say the fishing is, so far, so good. Heineman and Taylor fished just two tides and have already caught their limit.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty darn good.
They've been coming to the Kasiluf since before there was an organized parking lot and rows of porta-potties and trash bins.
Come down here and there'd be a dozen people at most.
I mean, people used to make their own nets. You didn't used to be able to buy nets at Costco.
Still, even with the lots and the porta-potties and the Costco fishing nets, they say it's a relatively peaceful spot. Heineman suspects the fishery will be more popular this year as a personal use set net fishery on the Kasiluf is closed due to low king salmon counts on the Kenai River. First-time dip netter Eva Franklin is a fan so far. She just caught her third sockeye salmon of the day.
Our third fish today, but our dad caught four fish last night.
That's true.
Franklin's camping at the beach with her family from Eagle River. They say it's a more family-friendly spot than the Kenai, and a nice change of scenery from the Anchorage area.
Even though we wait a lot, catching the fish is a fun part.
What does it feel like when you finally catch a fish in your net?
Like, super exciting. Yeah, super, super exciting.
Franklin says she's already hooked.
I'm gonna fish my whole life. It'll be super fun.
The Kasiluf dip net season started Sunday and goes through August 7th. Fish and Game extended the boundaries of the site up to the Sterling Highway Bridge on the Kasiluf River. The Kenai dip net fishery, meanwhile, opens July 10th. In Kasiluf, I'm Sabine Pooks.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
Last year was the biggest year on record for one Dungeness crab fishery in the Bering Sea. The but biologists in Unalaska aren't sure how long this crab boom will last. KUCB's Sophia Stewart-Rossi reports.
Last year's Dungeness crab harvest was at an all-time record high, with landings totaling nearly 3 million pounds with 16 vessels. But this year, there are more than 20 boats registered in the district. The North Peninsula District fishery, which stretches north of Cape Sarachef in the Aleutian Islands, opened in the early 90s. And for decades, it had small harvests of Dungeness crab caught by only a few vessels. Ethan Nichols is a biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Dutch Harbor. He says the Bering Sea fishery boomed last year and became the largest Dungeness crab fishery in the state, bringing in 35% of the state's total dungy landings.
Some of the pots that we're seeing coming out of this fishery are absolutely stuffed with crab. Like, you don't even know how that many crab can fit in a pot.
In January, an emergency proposal was introduced to Fish and Game by a local Unalaska fisherman who was concerned about potentially overharvesting the species following last year's increase in vessel participation. In response, Fish and Game set a pot limit per vessel for the first time in the North Peninsula District. This season, each boat is limited to 500 pots. Previously, there was no limit on the total number of pots boats could carry.
The person who put this in was worried about some really big boats like coming up from down south with like 3,000 pots apiece.
Nichols isn't sure if the increase in vessel count for the past couple of years is related to other crab crashes in the Bering Sea, but he thinks the explosion of the fishery could be influenced by climate change.
We think it's likely that the recent warming conditions in the Bering Sea are creating conditions more favorable for Dungeness crab in general. Over the history of the fishery, we've routinely seen relatively small harvests, but it's been these recent years where harvest has really, really ramped up.
Nichols says even though dungies can exist in warmer waters, it's still unclear if the numbers will stay high in the Bering Sea.
I'm hoping that as we have more years of consistent harvest in the fishery, that we'll have a better idea of the full distribution of crab in the area. And if this is just a fluke for a couple of seasons, or if this can be really a more consistent, large Dungeness fishery.
Alaska's annual Dungeness crab fishery in the North Peninsula District ends October 18th. Officials with Fish and Game say it's a slower start than last year, with around 33,000 pounds of dungies caught since May 1st. In Unalaska, I'm Sophia Stewart-Rossi.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
The Southeast Alaska Dungeness crab fishery opened on June 15th, but roughly a quarter of the fleet in Petersburg is skipping the season. As KFSK's Hannah Floor reports, that's partly because many of them are expecting low prices.
2 days before crabbing started, Petersburg fisherman Paul Manish was in the cabin of his boat, the Heinicke, speculating on crab prices.
Sounds like prices aren't going to be as low as we were quoted 3 weeks ago. Now it sounds, and it's just rumors, but that the prices will be for Dungeness will be north of $2, which isn't a good price, but better than 3 weeks ago.
It turns out Manish was right. When he sold his first load to OBI Seafoods in Petersburg, he says he got $2.10 a pound. That's 50 cents lower than the starting price last summer. Kevin Tim is the fleet manager at OBI Seafoods in Petersburg. He says the problem is that there's still a lot of Dungeness crab left over from last year. He says it's expensive, and customers just aren't buying it.
There's not a huge demand for it, yeah. It's all about demand. And with the economy and recession, people aren't buying crab.
Greg Smith is the communication director of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. He says that while the Institute doesn't track prices, he's noticed the same thing.
We believe the impacts of inflation are moving people away from that species, from that category, and as a result, it's hurting demand.
The organization doesn't have any specific information on last year's leftover dungy inventory, but they do know that snow crab inventory is higher than usual.
The fisheries do kind of, they will kind of trend together, so we can kind of make some assumptions that with snow crab having a higher inventory, that Dungeness also probably has higher inventories as well.
One way that crabbers make up for low prices is by catching a whole lot of crab. But last year, state managers closed Southeast Dungeness summer fishery 2 weeks early by emergency order because of low harvest numbers. Joe Stratman is a regional shellfish biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He says that unlike many fisheries, last year's Dungeness numbers are not any indication of potential stocks for the summer fishery. No one will know those numbers until the fishery is underway.
You know, we don't survey Dungeness like we do in Southeast for red and blue king crab and tanner crab. So we don't have any stock assessment independent of the fishery. So all of our information is fishery dependent.
Fish and Game collects data on Dungeness stocks when processors buy a crab. That means that the department knows what to expect in terms of numbers at roughly the same time the fishermen do. Manish, the Petersburg fisherman, feels good about this year's potential harvest. He says the low crab price didn't factor into his decision to participate this year. He's heard that there were a lot of soft shells during last fall's dungy opener. Soft shells mean the crabs aren't mature enough to be caught and sold, but they're a promising sign for future harvests.
Hoping we can make up for it in volume this year. So, but yeah, it has definitely taken the wind out of your sails, you know, when you hear those prices and your enthusiasm drops, but I was going to do it anyways.
Still, others just aren't willing to set gear out. This summer, the Southeast Dungeness fishery opened with only 146 permit holders registered. That's about 50 less than last year. That means roughly one quarter of the crabbing fleet decided to focus on other fisheries or stay home and work other jobs. Mike Wiegand is one of them. He owns the deli, a skiff with a winch for hauling crab pots. Wiegand does have another job, which means he can be pretty relaxed about his fishing decisions.
Even if it's not the best year, I still have my other job I can kind of fall back on. So if it's bad, then we'll just try and have as much fun as possible, I guess. We'll just let the gear soak and play.
One thing is for sure, fishermen are tight-lipped. So now that the crabbing has started, they won't be sharing their dungy numbers.
That was Hannah Flohr reporting from Petersburg. Fish and Game was scheduled to announce the length of the season on June 29th. Their report will also have catch data from the first week of crabbing.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.